You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're located right next to the Cocoa Police Department, just in case anybody wants to know.
That's right.
We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and on the World Wide Web, everywhere.
That's right, all over. 1510wwbc.com. You can reach that website and hit the Listen Live button. Get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, right there also, the On Demand button. You can pick by date, which is under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, each and every Monday. You just have to click on the Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and you'll get all the shows by date. Of course, we share all of that on our social media pages, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, of course, on Sita's personal page as well. And then on our website, SitaMediaInc.com.
Well, it's Ellen, awesome. Today we're going to have a really action-packed show as usual for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We sit here on Mondays from 1 to 2, and we make believe that this station, this studio, is part of our living room. So we chat. We chat with a lot of people. We heat up the airwaves, whether it's about financial literacy, writing a book, wanting to write a book. Maybe somebody wants to talk about saving the whales. Some people want to talk about the Indian River Lagoon. We give people a platform here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we are really blessed to have awesome sponsors and dedicated listeners that like what we do.
Well, and we learn each and every week from our community, because the folks that you meet on social media and the people that you meet at ABWA and all of the different other social events that we happen to attend in the community, it's so cool to find out what great things people are doing, not just for their fellow, you know, neighbors and so forth, but also for our community and area that I was, you know, unaware of. So.
Well, you know what? In order to, when you put your heart and soul into something, no matter what type of business it is, or no matter which company hires you to work a full-time job or a part-time job or a per diem job, the minute you clock in, you actually belong to that company. And I feel like when we re-signed our contract to be on WWBC here for another year, this hour is devoted to WWBC. And the freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And it takes a lot of work to go out there and market the show and market what we do and speak to people here in Brevard and elsewhere, and let them know that our show is very fair and balanced, and we give people a platform. And so it's a lot of work. Thanks to you. You and I both do it. And here we are, 15 years after the fact. We're still doing it.
It's so awesome.
And
it's so awesome.
It
and
is.
The more people we meet and the more people we get involved with, or that you get us involved with, it's just been such a great blessing. It really has.
Well, I woke up this morning and I said, you know what? Today's going to be a great day. And I figured, I was looking at Facebook and I saw our friend Banti Sarampella in Toronto, the monk. He posted something so beautiful, and it said, it's about mindset. And it said, the key to achieving success, a mindset that combines confidence, persistence, and ambition, is a powerful mindset which can achieve anything, endure anything, and transform any life. Mindset is everything. So in other words, put your mind to something, just like we do every Monday, and show up here, rain or shine, for 52 weeks per year times 15 years. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Well, today's no different. Our good friend, who's become a regular on our show, Mr. Ivor Alin, is going to be calling in, and he is the president of Intrinsic Wealth Strategies Incorporated. He's going to be speaking to us today about a lot of stuff, Ellen. And you know what? He's going to be talking to us about retirement, expenses, Medicare, what to expect at the end of the year, and how many people recognize that at the end of the year, their Social Security didn't cut it for them. So he's going to tell us how to
maximize,
help people in retirement. The second segment, I met a woman at ABWA, Rebecca Granger. She is the Chief Operating Officer at Alliance Cyber, and she's going to talk to us about why cybersecurity matters. So without further ado, we're going to go right to our friend, Mr. Ivor Alleyne, and let's hear what he's going to talk about today. Ivor, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends again.
Well, thank you as well, and kudos and congratulations for your 15th anniversary
yes.
of doing this. I know it usually takes a lot of work, and it does require a focused mindset in order to create what you do, but thank you again.
Yeah, it does, and you know, it's like a lot of people want to come on the show, and we have to tell them that Danny here is going to padlock the door if we show up and we can't afford our segments.
Exactly.
as much as they like us and they think we're a good team, we still have to make sure that our services here at the show is, you know, that we take care of them and they take care of us and we compensate them for the time. So anyways, well, you know, you send me some wonderful talking points about today's show, but Ellen and I and Danny, of course, we were just saying that so many people, their Social Security is just not cutting it for them, right?
Correct.
And they feel like when they retire, they feel like this is going to be, you know, something that's going to help them. But there's so many factors to consider with work history, earnings history, the claiming age, the retirement age. So talk to us a little bit about why is it that nearly half of the retirees report higher expenses than they actually anticipated?
Well, I think it's one of those situations where in a majority of instances, one is not thinking about, they're not thinking futuristically as to what and how things will be impactful from an inflationary standpoint. No one thought about, you know, years ago we paid 10 cents for a stamp and you don't do that anymore. Everything goes up. With regards to Social Security, as much as most people do not think they're going to be utilizing it, the statistics show that close to about 67, twice as much, find it to be their most, is like the bedrock.
It's like their paycheck. It's their paycheck.
Yes. And, you know, they tend to dismiss it. They tend to dismiss in the early phases, not seeing the need to save up for retirement and what will possibly complement that Social Security. And when they get to the end of that rainbow, they come to recognize, listen, based upon the cost of living that has gone up, my expenses and what have you, it so happens that a significant portion of my income that is guaranteed, that is predictable, that is inflation beating, that I cannot outlive, is Social Security. So you're looking at guaranteed income streams that it wasn't taken into consideration as much as when we worked, our earnings was happened to have been the guaranteed income stream, quote unquote, unless we terminated, got ill, whatever. But the key thing here during our working years, pre and post retirement, is the fact that we have to have income, and the income has to be predictable and it's sustainable. And is inflation beating, and you cannot outlive. So not because you retired means that you're now going to need income. And unfortunately, that calculation is not determined. Most people tend to look as to what I've accumulated, but you have to spend it down. You have to spend it. It has to be an income stream. So that's what we tend to see with retirees. They didn't take it into consideration. They're planning on retiring. But the most important thing they tend to look at is what they would have accumulated at the point of retirement.
Right.
Not necessarily what it's going to create for them consistently for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting that you're saying that because I was just thinking that, you know, so many people really need to be educated on this, not when they turn 50, not when they're 40, but actually in their 20s. And knowing that you have taught and you continue to teach, and you teach retirement planning courses and boot camps and workshops and all that, do you see when you're teaching with your company Intrinsic Wealth Strategies, do you see that people are eager for this information because they should have had it at an earlier age?
Very good question. They're very eager. And in majority of instances, the comment is, oh, wish I had, you know, I need to have started this 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Oh, my son needs this. My daughter needs to hear this, because they're at that age where they have time, which is the most important ally to create and accomplish what you're working towards. And when you try to address this within 3 to 5 years, you're many times challenged, because what is also happening as well, Sita, is the fact that a lot of retirees are approaching retirement and their main concern is debt. Debt is a major problem. You know, the credit cards, sometimes outstanding student loans, mortgages and what have you. So there is a situation when you're looking, yes, I'm earning income, but it's for a future obligation. Yes, I have a retirement income, but I still have an outstanding future obligation that has to be paid off. So debt is also a major issue that pops up in the process of assessing one's retirement readiness.
And I seem to remember reading somewhere that the highest bankruptcy rate reason is because of health payments.
Health issues.
Yeah. Health issues.
Yeah.
Which we really don't have any control over.
Well,
so that's
well,
why
President Obama talked a lot about that with his mom when she was diagnosed with cancer. That one of the issues she faced was, bankruptcy and debt. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Ivor, you know what? There's such a people have a hard time trying to figure out when to take Social Security, right? So at the age of 62. The most compelling reason to take Social Security is that you get your hands on that payout while you're still young enough to enjoy it. If you wait till you're 65, it's kind of a middle ground approach, right? But then at 70, a lot of people say, well, it maximizes what you receive. But at the same time, the downside is that there's no guarantee that you're going to live long enough to max out. So what are you seeing out there in your practice as far as retirement and what age people take it?
That spectrum varies from the standpoint that people might have, there's no longevity in my family, so I'm going to take it as soon as I get it. They've seen people who waited until the end of the spectrum at age 70 to get the max and then live long enough to enjoy it. So the thing about it is, like I always say, in retirement, you measure twice, cut once. You measure 3 times, cut once. And what are you measuring? You're measuring your income streams, the sources of your income streams, the Social Security. Should I take it at 62 when I'm first eligible? Should I take it to merge my full retirement age or go beyond to get a bonus at age 70? But it all depends. Am I earning still, because some people choose to work still. So, and even if they're not working, sometimes they have rental income. They have properties. They have businesses. They have sources of income. You might have sold a business, so you're getting an income stream over 5-10 years. So they make that determination first and foremost to see and identify proportionately where the sources are coming from to make a determination. Now, the other thing is this. For those who are married, and they recognize they have the higher payout, they will start to collect it. And the spouse is not taking it because they have the lower one. In the event that they predecease, the spouse gets the higher one. The surviving spouse gets the higher one. So there are quite a number of variables that go into the discussion in order to best assess how one ought to move forward. There's nothing etched in stone as it relates to where and how they should do it. But you ask the question, what do I see? The majority, they go to full retirement age.
So they go to 70.
And some don't feel that, you know, let me get it as soon as possible. I remember one person that said, listen, I'm going to take it at 62. They did not have a financial insecurity problem because they were very well established financially. But to say, you know what, I'm going to take it at 62. At least it's going to pay my green fees, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, so when people take it for vacation, it varies.
Right, but here's the thing, right? So that's an interesting stream of income that you talked about, rentals and property. So if you sell a home that you had bought for, say, like $60,000 back in the day, and you sell it for like $400,000, and you're collecting Social Security, that profit that you made on that is now counted as part of your income. So that has that reflects on your Social Security and how much you collect at that point, doesn't it?
It will, because now you are subject to capital gains taxes on it, and that's, and then of course you have the regulation where you can take the gain and not to be taxed purchasing out of a home. So here again, There, you know, it's like we enjoy and appreciate Google that we can go search these things. And we very seldom remember the word, it depends.
Yeah.
Because it depends upon different things, you know. So, yeah, so it's not no cut straight cut answer on that. And that's why those things should be discussed, you know, whether it's with your attorney or with your accountant or with your advisor. You need to know where you're going and get proper guidance.
Yeah, and when to sell, because, you know, if you sell it before 62, that makes a difference. If you sell it after 62 when you're collecting, that makes a difference as well, because I've heard where people's Social Security actually went down because they sold a property and they made a profit.
Well, there's something called provisional income, and provisional income is calculated to make a determination as to whether or not your Social Security becomes taxable or not, and to what degree it's taxable, whether it's taxed at zero, or, I mean, whether none of it is taxed, or whether 50% of it is taxed, or whether 85% of your Social Security is taxed.
Right.
It all has to do with what is happening on your 1040.
Wow. Well, you know, a lot of the people who are taking Social Security as well, they don't they don't understand that at some point Medicare does not cover a lot of their expenses. So how do we educate people to say, hey, you need to have a safety cushion because your Social Security might cover certain things, but if you get ill and you can't afford medication or you need durable equipment or whatever, you got to have that little cushion for those kind of things. Because what happens at the end of the year, now they're saying, well, I'm at a loss. I owe money. I'm back in debt again. So, I mean, what do we say to folks who are like, oh, I'm going to get my Social Security and that's going to be my paycheck and I'm going to be A-okay, and then they realize it's not?
Well, in the majority of instances, most individuals are coming out of the relationship with their employer where they were provided, you know, pretty decent coverage. Their obligation as far as their payments were very limited. It was not as much as if you went out as an individual. So you got accustomed to that. Now, when you get to the brink or that threshold of selecting Medicare and so forth, very seldom the out-of-pocket costs, which we had addressed in our previous conversations, are not being thought of. And only proper planning would allow someone to say, listen, let me create a silo of dollars for out-of-pocket expenses. That's why you have accounts where, guess what? You are able to put it away on a pre-tax basis, accumulate on a tax-deferred basis, and access it. But these type of medical expenses that you are not accustomed to, that's what they call the health savings account, as opposed to the FSA, the flexible spending account. So there's some people who are taking advantage of the HSAs in order to put away funds that in the event that these costs do, you know, show up later, they can address them. And it would be a much more favorable way to address them, but not to mention it's not commingled with their other resources for retirement, because very seldom people are thinking about that. That is something that needs to be addressed as well.
So it's never too late to update our retirement plans and strategize. And it would be great if people could give you a call. So give us your website and your phone number for Intrinsic Wealth Strategies, Inc. And so maybe people can, you know, at least go on your website and look up what you do as well, because you offer so many good ideas and, you know, ways for people to save and listen too.
Yeah, websites, you know, in a way, kind of limiting it. They can get lost in there. So it's usually best to make the phone call or an email. So the number is 973-415-8106. That is 973-415-8106. Or they can send out an email, you know, at IVOR@intrinsic, that is INTRINSIC, Wealth, WEALTH-INC.com.
So, you know, Ellen is here and myself and Danny is nodding his head to almost everything you're saying. But here's the thing. So I think, you know, we talk about debt as a problem, and debt could also be collective as well, right? Because a lot of families, a lot of people have support from their families that when they see mom and dad hit a certain age, and if they still owe some money on their mortgages, they'll sit down as a family, and it could be a cultural thing as well, and say, okay, well, you still owe $30,000 on your mortgage. We are going to move in with you. We will help you finish that mortgage, and you live rent-free in your own home and use your Social Security and do as you please. Travel, do whatever you want. Are you seeing that a lot of people are sitting down and strategizing this way? Because I know a lot of our friends, once the family members get, you know, older and maybe they get weaker and they've got an illness or whatever, the children step in and they have like a family meeting. Do you see anything like this going on?
Absolutely. It becomes...
It's a Caribbean, you know, thing. They want the people house.
Yeah.
And they want the people land and they want the people money in the bank.
Yeah.
It's suspicious too, by nature, right?
Those conversations do come up, and sometimes there are major conflicts, and everyone is not chipping in as they would like to. Sometimes we see that problem existing, you know. So it's important that for individuals, when they're getting to an elderly stage, that they can feel they have that dignity still. So it behooves them to do their own planning, so it's not left by last-minute decisions that they could have corrected previously, you know, so.
Yeah. Why do you think so many people have that issue where they don't sit down with a financial planner, they don't sit down with an attorney, they don't sit down with an accountant and plan their life? Because if you have seven children, like my mother used to say, you look at your fingers, none of them are even, right? All the children could be different. But who's mm-hmm. going to make that determination to move in with mom and dad if somebody falls or there's an illness or old age is coming, right? Why do you think, especially I noticed it, Ivor, in our Caribbean community, you almost have to light a fire under somebody's behind for them to get up and actually meet with somebody like you, which you give great advice, you know? Why do you think it's like that? People think they're going to live forever?
I think it's a cultural thing. I've seen it. Yeah, I'm seeing it, and you can, it's hard to say. I think it's a cultural thing as to how one was raised. People have rational viewpoints where you go, oh, no one left me anything. I ain't got a plan to leave nothing for nobody. You hear all kinds of crazy things. But, you know, I always say pay now or pay later. Either way, you will pay. So it's going to have an impact on you or you later. It may not have an impact on you now, because sometimes they're looking at the monetary obligation at this time to do that. Sometimes they're fearful, and it doesn't have to be set up in such a way that they are irrevocable. There are things that you can change. You know, even if you started out one way and you didn't feel it was the right thing to do, you can change it. But, you know, of course, there's the concept or the type of planning that can be irrevocable, because, and here again, you get a good tax attorney to address whether it should be revocable or irrevocable, you know. And to the extent with relationships in the family, who gets along, who is frugal, who who's a, you know, spender. So you do I need to put a spendthrift provision in my document?
Well, that's interesting what he just said, a spendthrift, because, you know, I remember once we had a resident, a patient at one of our nursing facilities, and the guy had a G-tube and a Foley catheter, and he was on a specialized bed because he had a, you know, pressure wound. But he was, you know, he was coherent. He could speak, and he knew what was going on. And his son came and said, "Hey, Dad, I need you to sign this document. I'm buying a boat." And he wanted like $60,000 from the, and the old man signed it. But at the same time, that man never really enjoyed that $60,000 himself. And here he is signing it for someone else. And and like you say, that guy was a big spender. So how do you protect yourself against the children that are going to come for that money at that time?
Only you know your children. Only you know what you feel is the right thing to do, or who is not responsible enough to take on that obligation, or who might be selfish. No one knows.
Right.
And like I said, those things come out in conversations with their respective advisors, counsel, you know.
But you know,
and then that's how you move forward, you know.
One of the things that you said about the savings portion of it, I remember when I was had just started in the workforce, and my parents said, do the maximum amount of 401k because they match. And, you know, we had this whole family conversation about this. And I said, oh, my gosh, how am I going to live if I get that much money taken out of my paycheck? But then I realized over time I was getting increases, and I didn't necessarily change that impact of what it was. But it was, you know, after a while, you don't see it anymore. It's like you figure out how to make it past that extra $100 a month to what you think is going to be crippling is really not crippling, because you wind up figuring out how to make that extra $100. So and another thing culturally that you'd spoken about, I think a lot of people think that all of this advice sometimes costs a lot of money. So from a consultation standpoint, you know, finding a great estate attorney or financial attorney, and certainly a financial advisor like you, means so much to people. So talk a little bit about how people can make a lifetime relationship with you that can certainly get them through every stage of their life, regardless of whether they're just starting or whether they're trying to figure out what they didn't do over the last 20 years.
That's a good question. It's a good question from the standpoint that unfortunately, the perception and what has occurred within the industry as a whole has been very transactional. And if you're transactional, you're not being coached as time moves along. You know, what are you trying to accomplish in 2025? Here we are at the end of 2024. What are the main things? Who's graduating? Who is buying a house? Who is selling? So it's important that you establish a relationship that you can feel moving forward. You don't change a doctor every year. You get a doctor that you are comfortable with, and you work with them, and they know what's going on. This is the same way you're going from a physical to fiscal relationship that you're establishing, that you feel that they're approaching and addressing matters from a macroeconomic standpoint, not just the portfolio's rate of return. Not just, oh, is there enough insurance? There's so many aspects. What is happening with the debts? Are we paying this down? What's the time frame we expected? You know, so the conversation is comprehensive. And one needs to select and seek out an advisor that addresses all these issues.
Right, and one has to be serious about life itself, that if you care about your life, your home, your environment, your children, their education, you will sit down and plan. And you know, Ivan, what we noticed too is that a lot of companies, their HR department, they go over these things and they gloss over it, but they don't really sit down with you one-on-one and say, this is what the company has. It's almost like you go in, you get hired, this is your insurance, this is all, you know, the cost. But I feel like maybe companies need to spend more time with the employees when they hire them and speak about these things in a lengthy way, you know?
I don't think it's going to happen, especially with the advance of artificial intelligence and a computerized age. I know in the past I've worked with individuals in the federal government, and even they had to go sit in a room and look at a a projection as to their benefits. Mm-hmm. No one is sitting interacting with them. But the conversations you're having hopefully provides individuals somewhat of an epiphany that they need to seek out that type of a relationship.
Right. And people get really upset when you say to them, hey, instead of buying a cup of coffee every day or McDonald's or whatever fast food you're eating, no, I'm not slamming any company. I'm just throwing that out there. They'll be like, oh, don't tell me what to do. But if you're spending $10 to $12 a day when you could just bring a sandwich from home, that is $60 for the week, right? And you could put that into the stock market. And at the end of, say, 15, 20 years, you can have a sizable amount of money. Where have we lost ourselves with this young generation coming up that they don't even say the word savings? Half of them don't even know what a checkbook is, how to write a check, where money is stored. They don't even know about a bank. How do we go back to the basics of teaching folks about credit card debt, savings, and saving for a rainy day?
Well, it starts at home, right? It starts by the environment. But the thing about it, that is not going to change. We're not going to save everybody. You know, you have to be mature enough and responsible enough, and hopefully the people you affiliate with, whether it's friends or family, can also nudge you to say, hey, you need to do this differently. I mean, think how serious this is. A pack of cigarettes, they put it as smoking is hazardous to your health. People still smoke. So, you know,
and I keep saying they got to be rich. It's like $12 a pack now or something, isn't
it? Yeah. You know, I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes last night. They were speaking about Hermes handbags. Some of these things are going for $45,000, $5,000.
I know.
Pocketbook that women love. There's nothing wrong with that. So you're not going to get people to change. The thing that people need to check themselves with is the expense that I'm incurring today. Is it going to cost me the future tomorrow?
Wow, that's profound. Well, we have a minute or two left with the segment, and I wanted to ask you, where the year is ending off, right? A lot of people are beginning to give charitable contributions, scholarships. They're trying to get rid of little money that they had, you know, and then others are now worrying about the countdown to their retirement. Any advice for the people who are sitting there and saying, hey, I've got this much money to give, or I'm worried about my retirement?
Not knowing their situation, like they say in the medical field, prescription without diagnosis is akin to malpractice.
Yeah.
They need to get with someone who can listen to them to do an intake and understand what their current scenario is and look what is the best way to move forward from a strategy standpoint for them to optimize the efficiencies of what they have.
Wow, that's, you know what, I just love that. And, you know, I agree with you that it's never too late to call someone and strategize. So give us your website one more time and a way that someone could contact you, because, as you know, coming from the Caribbean, I have to say that we like to work, and a lot of us work till the day we die, but there are ways that some of us could stop working at a certain age and save and enjoy whatever's left of life. You have some people that want to work every day till the day the good Lord takes them, and then you have some that don't want to work at all. So everybody have their own situation, right? So I think they should sit down with you.
I always believe my philosophy is it's about the journey, not getting to the destination. So you embrace the process of balance to what degree, but you need to enjoy, smell the roses when you can. And my situation with regards to being contacted again is 973-415-8106, or they can get me in an email, ivor@intrinsicwealth-inc.com. I want to also wish you all a happy holidays, a safe one, and a prosperous new year.
And a happy birthday to Sita Begee.
We'll be in the new year.
Yeah, and a Merry Christmas, too. I love to say Merry Christmas. Yeah. And here's the thing, you know, we want to give you a shout-out as well for being a contributing author in the book Big Bold Business, Advice from U.S. Business Owners. And, you know, you're one of my Caribbean people, and every time somebody from the islands do well, I feel like it's my friend, my family. And I think that's the way we should feel about people who are successful, because
you know, it's a lot there to motivate yourself and when you come to America and do well, and you've done very well.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
I've been blessed by people who support me and guided me as well.
I guess it really does start at home. If you don't have that foundation at home, it's like a house built on sand. Everything's going to, you know, just go right into the sea.
Well, we will make sure we share all of this great information on our website as well as our social media channels. We're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with our Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends right after this.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast. Think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. All over the web, 1500wbc.com. You can get us on the archive piece, all of our Monday shows at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on that on-demand button. Of course, you can hit listen live and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then we share all of that on our social media channels as well as our website, which is cedamediainc.com.
Right. And our first segment was awesome about financial literacy and Medicare and retirement planning and when to sell your home and not to sell it and Social Security. And gosh, I learned something new every day on this show. Our second segment is with a wonderful young lady that I met at ABWA, as you know, that's our group, Rebecca Granger. She has an MBA, PMP, and she's the Chief Operating Officer with Alliance Cyber, where she has been serving since 2022 with over 15 years of experience in operation management, business strategy, and program management. And I'm not going to read her entire bio because it's just long and beautiful, and she's all about cybersecurity. Rebecca's on the phone, and we are going to have her say hi to our listeners and talk to us a little bit and thank her for calling in on our show. So thank you, Miss Rebecca.
Hi, Tia. Thank you so much for having me today.
So not only are you a cybersecurity expert in my eyes, but you are actively involved in the community, and you've been recognized as the Businesswoman of the Year by Orlando Business Journal Woman, who mean in 2024?
Yes, ma'am. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that was exciting.
I'm excited for you, and I wasn't even there, because when you are successful, then we are all successful. It's just wonderful. So
Thank you. Talk
to us a little bit. People, you know, here we are in 2024, and we've got Twitter,
yes,
and Instagram and Facebook and Threads and the X and God knows what. So many things going on, right? Why does cybersecurity matters? Why does it matter?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2024, in our digital age, and as we continue to progress and get more and more new techniques that we can share information, it's really important for us to be conscientious and aware of how we're sharing that information and to think about what our digital footprint looks like from an individual basis. And so cybersecurity is extremely important to protect your personal information and your company's information.
Yeah, and so tell our listeners on Viewpoint with CEDA and Friends, what are five reasons why cybersecurity is important now more than ever?
Yeah, absolutely. So the number one reason is financial, right? You really, everyone works extremely hard, and in our economy, as we all know, times are tough, and the last thing anybody wants to do is become a victim of fraud and lose that hard-earned income because somebody is taking advantage of you online. So that would be number one. Number two is protecting your personal data and your personal information, right? So your address, your phone number, your social security number, all of that information is really should be protected as much as possible. And now that we have all these different apps and these different ways to share information, it seems like we're putting that data all over the place. And it's important to be aware of that and where we're putting that data, and that hopefully it's protected. I'd say number three is, you know, things can get scary online, and the information that we share, for example, on our Facebook, on our social media sites, there are privacy settings that everyone can select to make sure that that information is only shared with people you know and is private. Because once you put it out there, it's out there for good, and you don't want people to know information about you that, you know, you don't want people on the internet seeing pictures of if you have children or whatever, right? You don't want strangers seeing that.
Yeah. And, well, you know, I remember when you gave us the speech at ABWA, you spoke a little bit about phishing and smishing, and those are completely
Absolutely.
Different things. So talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with CEDA and Friends a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are two relatively common ways that people will try to take advantage of you. Especially this time of year, you know, you might get phishing is basically an SMS text message that you'll get. I just got one yesterday that said, oh, this is the U.S. Postal Service. However, the country code started with 63. So right there, I knew, okay, this is a scam, and I can go ahead and just block that text. But some people, if you're not aware of that, you may think, oh, gosh, do I really have a package coming?
Yeah.
A lot of people get the same kind of thing from Amazon, right?
Or they're FedEx. Like, oh, you know, and they do it from FedEx, too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's really important to be very aware of those texts that you're getting, and it will make you do a double take. But one of the things I like to tell people is just, you know, pause, don't react right away, because it's highly likely that that's not the way they're going to communicate with you. Phishing is something that, you know, we see all the time. You know, you might get a variety of emails at work or at home, right? Oh, you know, update your account immediately, urgent. Right. Everything you see that's phishing related is typically it's coming from somebody that is in a position of authority, or they're requiring you to act quickly. And it's important to kind of hover over that email address and see where that's actually coming from, because a lot of times
it's fishy. It's very
exactly.
Fishy. Yeah. Well, you know, I got one yesterday that says, we're proud to tell you, you won $10 million in some country that I never heard of before. And I'm like, yeah, right. That wouldn't be my luck.
Did you get so excited and then just follow up with them to make sure?
Heck to the no. I'd rather be broke and poor and not
right.
have food
yeah.
than go and open that email, because I know it's, you know, from somewhere, originated somewhere where they want to steal something from me. But, you know, as we get older, we our hearing goes, our eyesight goes, right? And I remember once at our nursing station, I want to say it was in Chicago, we had a resident that had memorized his account number for his bank back then. And he was sitting at the desk and telling us to call his bank. And I remember one of the nurses called the number, and he speaks very loudly. And he's saying this account number in the phone, and it wasn't even the bank. Now, I think that is something very scary with the elderly if they don't have, you know, trusted people around them. Because how do you take that number out of his brain when he's memorized it all his life and he's memorized the number for his bank? Do you see cases like that as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not just like the bank account information, it's gift card scams, right? You'll see that happen a lot. One of the most common scams that is going around now has to do with Facebook. So essentially someone on the internet will spoof or catfish. They'll use your pictures, and then they'll go find your friends list. And then they'll start communicating with your friends, and people think, oh yeah, hey Sita, how's it going? And they don't pick up on the fact that it's not really you. It's a spoofed account. Okay. And they'll say something like, oh, I have this amazing opportunity. I'm applying for these grants. And then all of a sudden there's that hook, and they get you involved in this conversation with them. And the next thing you know, they're asking you for gift cards, and you're going out and you're buying gift cards. And then you're like scratching off the back, and you're like, why am I doing this? Right? Because you're in this hypersensitive, like, oh my gosh, absolutely, I know Sita, right? But until somebody kind of pauses and takes the time to see, like, is this a legitimate account? Are these legitimate friends? Where is this account actually based? Stuff like this happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's good that I know you have been educating our students in JA and doing work in the community to bring awareness to cybersecurity. So who do you partner up with? And tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends why it's so important to get the young ones involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So about a year ago, Alliance Cyber actually started a nonprofit. It's Alliance Cyber Gifts Foundation. And we utilize that foundation to support other nonprofits in our community. as well as supporting training and education in schools. And one of the most important things for our youth to understand today is, again, that digital footprint and how to be a good digital citizen. Because, again, they're posting information, they have access to Instagram, they have all this access, and they know how to work all this technology, right? It's evolving rapidly. And it's important for them to be aware of the fact that the pictures they post online, the things they say online, they may not have an instant understanding of exactly how that could affect someone in the future, including themselves. And so we like to just kind of help students understand, you know, you definitely want to make sure no one can access your information. No one can communicate with you that you don't know, because that gets really creepy really quick.
Right. And there is something that we have to pay attention to, that, like, cybersecurity with PDFs, cybersecurity in business, cybersecurity for students. So talk to us a little bit about, some people don't like to have a second layer of security with their banks and things like that, but talk to us a little bit about the cybersecurity in businesses as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first and best and easiest thing you can do initially is to make sure you're using multi-factor or two-factor authentication. So, you know, if you can access your bank account and you don't have another mechanism for them to contact you, that means somebody can ultimately change your password, get into your bank account. So making sure that you have maybe an authenticator app to download, any account that you set up, make sure you're giving the bank, or, you know, you're using that two-factor authentication method, because that's the first and best way. Another way to really protect yourself is to make sure you're using strong passwords. You know, the old days of really simple passwords, hopefully nobody uses simple passwords anymore, but we
like
know
your dog's name,
like your cat's name. You know,
yes.
Your dog's name. And then you post a million pictures of your dog, naming your dog.
Hello. No, I have a sticker on my laptop right now that says, your password was weak, so I renamed your dog.
Right.
Some of our friends at Breakpoint Labs, they gave me that sticker.
You can't stress enough that cybersecurity matters, because it safeguards our digital lives, protecting personal information, financial data, critical infrastructure from malicious attacks and cyber threats. And, you know, I remember once I had an issue with my computer, and my son is an engineer. He does data for a living, you know, kind of software engineering. And he said, so what did you do? I said, well, I called this company, and a guy from India said he can get into my computer if I give him access. And he said, oh, no. He's like, did you let them? I said, yeah, and they fixed it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, I said, oh, he was really nice, and he's Hindu, and he talked about Lord Krishna and stuff, and he's like, Mom, for God's sake, take that computer to Staples and have it scrubbed. They were scared, because people like me who are, I'm not going to say I'm stupid, but I'm not educated well enough, and I needed to print something, and I couldn't print it, and this guy was able to fix my printer. And my sons were really upset with me. So what do you say to somebody like me that did something like that and had some strange person from India talking with me in a chat window and interfering with my computer?
Oh, Sita, this happens more frequently than anybody realizes. So there is also another mechanism that happens, is it's called scareware. And you may be surfing the internet, you may be on MSN reading the news, you may inadvertently click on something, and then all of a sudden you get this pop up, and it's this Windows support alert.
Yeah,
and
I had that. I had that too.
Exactly. Did it have the loud alarm with it as well?
Oh yeah, and they wanted you to call this number and then get some cards, like gift cards or something. And that's when I called Staples, and they said, bring that computer and come in right now. And the guys there too.
Here's another example of what you were just talking about, Rebecca. It was for me, I was in Intuit because I needed some QuickBooks help. And what happened was, is I was on support with QuickBooks, and they said, we're going to have to call you back. And then another number called me back, And it just something didn't seem right. And I said, you know something, I'm going to call you back. And I called them back instead. But in the meantime, the real QuickBook people called me back. So somehow they figured out that I was calling for support. And some company in India, and I can only assume it was India because of the number. It was like one of those weird exchanges in the beginning. I can only assume that it was that. And they called in and they were trying the same thing as Sita. They were trying to get access to the computer to help me. So be careful also of when you're calling support that you want to make sure that you're getting the authenticated support, not somebody that's just calling in and saying that they're Microsoft or
say
or
like it is.
Absolutely.
Not some crooks.
Yeah,
well,
so for
our listeners, hold on a second, Rebecca. I just want to tell our listeners who we're speaking with Rebecca Granger. She has an MBA, a PMP, and she's the Chief Operating Officer at Alliance Cyber. And we're talking about cybersecurity. To take that one step further, what Ellen is saying, we have a lot of children that come home from school and their parents are not home. How do we secure these teenagers, children, when their parents are working and they're on the computer and one of those scare tactics show up? Should there be parental controls on those computers? How do we educate parents about that?
Yeah, so it's important when you are giving your child any kind of technology to have that conversation with them about how you want them to engage with you. If they see something that's uncomfortable, if they see something that's scary, like it's always important for your kids to know that if they see anything, they please come right to you and let you know. I always recommend utilizing tools on your machine. Parental controls are very important, but as you know, kids are brilliant these days and they know how to get access to things. And so just having that conversation with them about the fact that there is a lot of access available to them. There's a lot of information on the internet and, giving them instructions on what to do.
And practical steps would help not just kids, but you have middle-aged women men. People fall prey to others because they're lonely sometimes. They want to be loved, appreciated. And you have these folks that take other people's pictures and pretend it's their own. And next thing you know, you're falling in love with somebody, but it's not the person. And they scam people, and it's all done online. Sometimes I do want to take a country back because it is downright scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's entire criminal enterprises that function exactly like businesses, right? They have complete customer relationship management software, project management software that they use in order to scam people. And so they're very sophisticated, and it's just very important. I completely understand, but they prey on the weaknesses of others and the vulnerabilities of others. And if your gut is telling you something, right, you just have to follow it and realize that maybe do a little searching on the side. If somebody says something to you, start looking, right? Because there's clues.
Yeah, it's why my block list, I call it sending people to Blockistan on all of the social medias. Yeah. I've got like 6,000 people on that
Danny's
list.
So Danny's telling me we have a minute left in this segment, less than a minute. So give us the information how we could contact you if somebody wanted to have your services to help them with cybersecurity and help their business and their clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So our phone number is 321-345-6233, and our website is alliancecyber.com.
Oh, gosh, I so wanted to get into that crying baby one. Do you have 20 seconds quick to tell our audience how they use the crying baby to get your information?
So that's a technique we like to call vishing, and it's essentially somebody utilizing social engineering and psychological tactics to stress the call center out in order to get somebody to provide them information. The one we're talking about specifically was a example from a recent hacking challenge at DEF CON, which happens in Vegas every year. And it's super interesting, and I can provide the link to you, Sita, so you can share that with your listeners.
Would love to do that for sure. And what a great education we got today about retirement and certainly about how to stay safe on the internet. Rebecca, thank you so much for calling in. We are going to say goodbye today for the Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, but please tune in each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC.